It's a good crowd. Y'all look wonderful too. I love Father's Day, and I'm like Richard. I had a really good dad. He wasn't a perfect dad. And today our theme is really, a good father. What is a good father? And I think it's been mentioned early. Sometimes I know that certainly none of our dads were perfect, and I know that we sometimes face things. But our Heavenly Father is a wonderful Father, and He knows how to change our hearts and lives. I want to ask you if you'd turn in your Bibles. I'm going to share a few thoughts with you about Abraham from Genesis chapter 17, as I just share some thoughts on being a good father. All right, I'll give you time to turn over there. Genesis chapter 17. You can also follow along on the screen. Then God said to Abraham regarding Sarai, "Your wife, her name will no longer be Sarai. From now on, her name will be Sarah. And I will bless her and give you a son from her. Yes, I will bless her richly, and she will become the mother of many nations. Kings of nations will be among her descendants." Then Abraham bowed down to the ground, but he laughed to himself in disbelief. "How could I become a father at the age of 100? he thought. "And how can Sarah have a baby when she's 90 years old?" So Abraham said to God, now listen, he's kind of settling here. "May Ishmael live under your special blessings." Because he just doesn't believe they can have a son. But listen to God. But God replied, "No, Sarah, your wife, will give birth to a son for you. You will name him Isaac, and I will confirm my covenant with him and his descendants as an everlasting covenant." Now, God had a different plan, didn't he? But he heard their prayer, and he says, "As for Ishmael, I will bless him also, just as you have asked, and I will make him extremely fruitful and multiply his descendants. And he will become the father of 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will be confirmed with Isaac, who will be born to you and Sarah about this time next year." And so when God finished speaking, he left Abraham. Now, how many of you know that we talk about sometimes, we have friends or family that get married, and when the wife is like maybe 25 to 30, we say, they need to start having kids pretty soon because she's getting older, isn't she? And so for God to come and speak this to Abraham and Sarah, you can understand his disbelief, which, when we talk about Abraham, realize something, which just has been echoed this morning, is that, listen, God blesses us with wonderful fathers, but they're not perfect men. And when you look at Abraham's life, we see in verse 18, what was he trying to do there? He was trying to settle for less than what God had promised. Now, remember, because Sarah was older and they couldn't have children, then she said to Abraham, "Why don't you have a child with Hagar?" And so that was their handmaiden. And so that's what they did. And so they had Ishmael. And so here's Abraham and Sarah saying, "We're too old at our old age to have children. So God, will you bless Ishmael?" And I want to say to us, to all of the dads that are here, listen, God doesn't want you to settle for less than what he's promised you. And when he speaks to you, and look, in Abraham's life, we know that we saw that there were disbelief and there were challenges, but his faith was so important. And so the first thing that I want to tell you about Abraham is that he was a man of faith. We know this. Abraham would actually not live to see the completed promise, of a great nation fulfilled. But he would come to that place where he wouldn't settle for less. And actually, it happened very soon after God had spoken to him. Let's go on and read in verse 23, chapter 17. Now, I know this is a Father's Day message, and let me caution you, I'm going to talk about circumcision. This is what this is talking about. You say, "Pastor Dennis, this is your first message back, and on Father's Day, you're talking about circumcision." Yes, I am. Okay, so let me just give you a warning. But listen what it says. It says, "On that very day, Abraham took his son Ishmael," and listen to this, "and every male in his household, including those born there and those he had bought." That's talking about slaves, okay? "Then he circumcised them, cutting off their foreskins just as God had told him. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised, and Ishmael, his son, was 13. Both Abraham and his son Ishmael were circumcised on that same day that God spoke to him, along with all the other men and boys of the household, whether they were born there or bought as servants. All were circumcised with him. Now look, some people talk about that this is actually in the Old Testament, that this is when God gave birth to the church. Because understand something, I know circumcision is something we don't talk. I mean, how many of you, you don't go around talking about circumcision, right? I know that you don't. But look, circumcision is a powerful reminder from the Old Testament about what God does through Jesus Christ in our hearts. And it was God's way of putting, I know you may not like the word brand, but how about the word spiritual identity? See, I mean, God separated out his people through circumcision. And it was a sign of the covenant that would focus on descendants. You and I are a part of that covenant, that promise that God made to Abraham. Well, he began to get past his disbelief to move in obedience. And here's the thing about it. Not only was it a blessing to Ishmael, it was a blessing to everyone in his household. And so what I want to say to dads is because you're a man of faith, do you realize it's not only that your children that you can influence, but it's those that are around you because of your obedience and because you're a child of God. That's what we sung about this morning. And that's a great thing, isn't it? Well, let me go on and say something to us. As fathers, I think we know that we have a spiritual mandate to keep and to cultivate our families and others that who really give us the opportunity to influence them. We've been talking about this over the last few weeks and about, you know, doing ministry as we go. And men, I want to say to you that while I realize that sometimes, you know, we've seen this a lot, and I know you probably have too, but a lot of times you see in social media, even our own family and friends arguing about things of God and social issues and all those kinds of things. And so, you know, I'm concerned because there is this shift as we're talking about, you know, but dads, I want to say to you, you do something so important as a man of faith is that you set a pattern. You set a consistency that your families need. And even though for your children and your grandchildren, you may not see all that God would fulfill in their lives, but what you do by living your life before them, just as Abraham did, was so important. Remember, he would not see the promised land. He would not see all of what God had promised. But what he did, we see in these verses here that he influenced those. Listen, man, I want to say something. You are men of influence, and God has called you to cultivate and to keep your family. Your family needs you to be strong as a man of faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It's the evidence of things that we cannot see. And that's one of the things about Abraham that he had to do. He had to exchange the known for the unknown. Isn't that right? Yep. Thank you, Kata. Appreciate that. Now, I'm a guy that likes a plan. Ask Dan Lowry. Ask some of my other friends. I like a plan. How many men like a plan? How many men like to see that things are done? You like to see it happening. And your wife says, okay, how about those things around in the backyard that need to be done? But you see, as men of faith, and no matter what age we are, I mean, God goes along and he calls us to a deeper level of trust. Isn't that true? I mean, I don't want to talk about myself, but, you know, I know many of us have been going through physical things. And how many of you have found, you know, you're going through those things and you realize, you know, God, as I'm going through this, I mean, you know, I was in the hospital and I had 6 days of just a lot of pain from the surgery and everything. And so I'm almost helpless. And I can't do much for myself. Katya's there, and they, you know, how they care for you and everything. And I'm thinking, God, what are you doing in this? And the Lord is saying to me in this season of my life, he's trying to teach me to trust him with a deeper level than I've had before. You know, one of the things that I was blessed for, was a blessing to me and listen to Michael W. Smith and some of you that have shared. You know, my dad really helped me to see a different side of faith in the way that he trusted in the Lord. And I saw that a few short years before he died. He died in 1976. He was 54 years old. He died from leukemia. Now, growing up, because I'm like Richard. We went to church maybe, you know, twice on Sunday. We were there a lot. And my mom was the one that primarily took us. My dad stayed home a lot on Sundays and watched anybody that's old enough to remember Rex Humbard from Arkansas. Well, that was my dad's favorite pastor, and he would watch that show faithfully. And that was his church. But I realized something, you know, as I got older and spending time with my dad, that faith was not just for church. In other words, it wasn't just for being in a meeting. It wasn't just a set of values or whatever, that we could really trust in the Lord to help us to be who God has called us to be and to accomplish all that he desires for us. And man, I want to say that's what God desires for you today. And this morning I want to encourage, and sometimes, you know, and not only encourage us, but many times as we get older, God wants to affirm what we've done because maybe we don't see everything that we would like to. Secondly, we see that Abraham is a man who recognizes God's presence. Look at Genesis 18, verses 1 through 5. Genesis 18, verses 1 through 5. The Lord appeared again to Abraham near the oak grove, belonging to Mamre. One day, Abraham was sitting at the entrance to his tent during the hottest part of the day, and he looked up and noticed three men standing nearby. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them and welcomed them, bowing low to the ground. "My Lord," he said, "if it pleases you, stop here for a while. Rest in the shade of this tree while water is brought to wash your feet. And since you've honored your servant with this visit, let me prepare some food to refresh you before you continue on your journey." "All right," they said, "do as you have said." Now, look, it may not be that Abraham totally recognized this was the Lord, but he did so by faith. Actually, it probably, you know, the visitors that came to see him, it probably most likely was the Lord and two angels. And in verse 3, the Hebrew text uses the word, I think you pronounce it Adonai. That word is usually reserved for God. So you see that Abraham is a man, he recognizes God's presence. He's stepping out in faith, and he welcomes God to be there. And so, man, I want to say to you that that's so important, that we recognize God's presence. We've been talking about the importance of not only, you know, that we gather here today for worship, but as we live our lives, that we would say, listen, I know I have the Holy Spirit in me and there's a prompting that takes place. And God, I know there are times that you're doing things just beyond my everyday that I need to be aware of your presence. I'm blessed because Kata, my wife, is a very spiritual lady. She's very spiritually sensitive, okay? And many of you husbands have wives that are the same way, right? Okay. Keep going, all right? It's a good time to say amen. Amen. Okay, good. I grew up in the Southern Baptist Church. I'm grateful for my Southern Baptist heritage, and that was during the 60s, okay? But did you know that back then that much of the spiritual training for the family was handled by the ladies? Matter of fact, in the Baptist Church, the tradition was that 80% of church work was done by women, except for the pastor's job. Now, ladies, thank you for those of you that were had moms, or none of you probably actually were serving in the church in the 60s, but if you were, thank you for doing that. But what happened in the 70s, guys? Y'all remember? It was a great move of the Holy Spirit, wasn't there? There was a really powerful move of the Holy Spirit, a lot of things. And so what happened was that the spiritual barometer for a lot of men began to change. And some of you that are here today, you know that that's true. I mean, the just powerful things. And so I want to say to you this morning that as fathers, we're called to welcome God's presence. I always say, you know, to our worship team, where are the men? Now, ladies, look, I appreciate you. But you know what? It's a great blessing, you know, for people to see and for our children to see men that welcome God's presence, that know how to worship, that are not afraid, listen, to step out in faith. I know many times that sometimes maybe God will speak a word to somebody and you come, you know, and you're kind of nervous about it. I mean, anybody ever feel that? Well, you have to step out in faith sometime, you know, to be able to recognize God's presence and fulfill what God desires. You know, I mean, welcoming God's presence is in our homes. It's in corporate worship and just recognizing his presence, even as you go to work. And it's not something that we're not trying to put something heavy or, you know, that this happens every day, that there may be something. But many times when you recognize God's presence, it requires you to step out in faith. God, I believe that I've heard you speak something to me. You're prompting something. I mean, how many of you have some kind of tone or a notice on your phone or your tablet that lets you know you got a message? I mean, everybody does. Some of y'all go off during church sometimes. I've heard them. I know they do. Well, we have the Holy Spirit in us. So let's say that, men. I have the Holy Spirit in me. I have the Holy Spirit in me. That's right, I do. And so when you go to work, listen, the movement, God's presence is not just for in this building and when we gather here. It's for every day because we have the Holy Spirit and he's active and alive. And, you know, as we've been talking about, you know, entertaining angels unaware and those things. And so listen, I want to encourage you. You got the Holy Spirit. I know you do. You wouldn't be here today and you wouldn't have put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the prompting of the Holy Spirit can speak to us wherever we are. Whether it's to pray or whether it's to share your faith or whether it's to go and buy something and give to somebody or whatever it is. When you're on the baseball field, especially when you're on the baseball field, those of you that may play baseball or coach or sports or the golf course, you know, those are great times. Well, the last thing I want to share about Abraham this morning is that Abraham is a man who seeks God's vision for his family. He's a man who seeks God's vision for his family. Last passage of scripture that I want to read this morning, except for one in closing, is Genesis 18, verses 17 through 19. And this is the Lord speaking. He said, "Should I hide my plan from Abraham?" The Lord asked. "For Abraham will certainly become a great, mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed through him. I've singled him out so that he will direct his sons and their families to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just. Then I will do for Abraham all that I have promised." Well, we know that the Lord, he gave Abraham a vision for his family that he didn't have on his own, right? I mean, they had a hard time believing that at 100 years old and at 90 years old that they could have a son named Isaac. And so I want to just share some thoughts about vision with you this morning in the last part of this message. You know, vision helps you to see God's destiny for your life and for your family. Let me say that again. That's important. Vision that God gives to you helps you see God's destiny for your life and for your family. And it's not vision that you create in your mind by human thought. As fathers, vision is given to us as we seek the Lord. Isn't that right? I mean, it's our responsibility, you know, as God's, as spiritual sons of the Heavenly Father, to seek the Lord and to ask him, "Lord, what is it that you desire of my family? What is it that you want to do in my family?" Listen, there are a lot of families that are drifting away. There are a lot of children that are moving away because they don't have a dad that's keeping the vision of what God is and what he desires for them before them. And I want to encourage us because the culture is moving us more and more away from the values of God's word and the truth of even having an active and a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. God speaks to us through his word, and he helps us to see life with spiritual eyes. Psalm 119, verse 18 says, "Open my eyes to see the wonderful truth in your instructions." A daily diet of God's word is important for us, brothers. Yeah. We need that. It's like not drinking water and eating healthy food to the spiritual man. And you say, well, you know, Pastor Dennis, how do I receive God's vision for my family? Well, you know, I want to say to you, obviously, we've identified one thing already, and that God speaks to us through His Word. But as we pray and we listen for His voice, and listen, I know many times in our prayer times, we're offering up these various things, and we want God to answer our prayers. But we need to be sure that we're taking time to listen for God's voice. I'll tell you something else that vision does for you. It helps you to understand the responsibilities that God has given to us as husbands and as fathers. I want to encourage you, and I'm going to read a closing scripture, and we're going to be done. I'm going to pray for you. You know, one of the things that Katya and I have done, and we actually, you know, we're really encouraged by Jimmy Evans and Karen Evans through the ministry. Not personally with us, Marriage Today. And one of the things that they've done that Katya and I have really adopted into our relationship is that we get away. You know, we may get away once a year or twice a year. He calls it a pray and play, okay? So you can go pray, you can have some time to play and enjoy yourselves. But what we've done is that we've gone to get away and to pray, God, give us vision for our family. You say, well, you know, but my kids are older. Well, our kids are older too. You know what? But I find, and I try not to interfere. I said I try not to interfere, okay, in their lives. But I find that they call me, or they call and they talk to Katya. And you want to be ready. You want to have a vision for what God is doing in their lives, so that when they give you the opportunity, now, because I know a lot of young adults say, well, my parents interfere in my life. And I'm saying I try not to do that. And so we have found that not only getting away, you know, that God speaks to us, but He encourages us in our relationship together. And so I want to encourage you to do that. Let me just close with just a few verses from Psalm 119. You've been so patient and so good to be with you this morning. This is Psalm 119, verses 89 through 93. It says, your eternal word, O Lord, stands firm in heaven. Your faithfulness extends to every generation, as enduring as the earth you created. Your regulations remain true to this day, for everything serves your plans. If your instructions hadn't sustained me with joy, I would have died in my misery. I will never forget your commandments, for by them you give me life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word this morning. We thank you for Abraham and for Sarah. We thank you for our families. We thank you most of all for your son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, that you have circumcised our hearts through our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray for every father that's here today that you would strengthen them and bless us. Help us to be men of the Spirit. Help us to be men of faith. Help us to be men who have a vision for our families. And Lord, I pray your blessing on all these men. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to thank you so much for being here today. Katya and I will be at the Welcome Center. We'd love to greet any of you. And I trust that you'll have a good day as you maybe go out and spend time together as families and as friends. All right. God bless you. Thank you so much. We love you, and we'll see you soon. All right. Have a great day.